Blog Talk Radio.
The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Colossians. Colossians 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
Praise the Lord, brothers. Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome to our newest episode. I pray all is well with you and your family as we continue to talk to men, to encourage men, to speak into the lives of men, to encourage them to be leaders in the home, in the church, and in the communities. And today we're going to talk about servanthood, what it means to be a servant of Christ. And again, that's something that we just have to step back on. We should be, if you listen to this on Saturday morning, we are in our men's fellowship, checking your position, and I pray that you're not listening to this live, that you came to the event. But either way, we definitely wanted to give you something on Saturday morning. This is a recorded program, so if you called in at 646-668-2636, you can hear the show, but you can come on even if you press 1, because, this is pre-recorded. But anyway, I pray that you'll be blessed with it, because you're continuing on part of this. This is also, this is like a subtitle, because we've been talking about holiness for the last couple of shows, and I said we were going to be talking more about holiness, what it means to be holy. When God says, be holy for I am holy, and what does it look like to live as a holy man of God in holiness? But this is part of it, because as I was studying the holiness, we have to understand, is Christ our Lord? Because that's where it comes to when we're talking about what does it mean to be a servant of Christ, and is he Lord? So we're going to hash that out a little bit here and discuss with some of the brothers on the line. Well, first let me go, let me do a quick check here. Deacon Anthony Lee, can you hear me, brother?
Yes, sir, bro. Praise the Lord. How are you?
Good, good. Praise the Lord, brother. Again, thank you for coming and being part of the discussion tonight. We pray that something will be said to encourage your brothers, and thank you for taking time out as we was able to get this Amen. Together. As we, even as we continue to prepare for our men's fellowship. But in that, we're going to, could you open us up with prayer, bro?
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Father, for another opportunity that you've given us, Father, for new mercy and new grace, Lord God. Another opportunity to get it right, Father God. Another opportunity to stand in the gap and intercede, Lord God. Father, we just thank you, Father, for you being who you are, Father. Father, we ask you to have your way tonight, Lord God. Father, touch the hearts and minds of the men, Lord God. Father, we thank you for Deacon Farr, Father, and the platform to speak directly to the men, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for how you're using him, Father, how you're bringing him up, Father, how you're protecting his family. Lord, you're just doing amazing things in the midst of us, Lord God. So we thank you right now, Lord God. Have your way tonight, Father. Whatever is said in word or deed, Father, you make the change in the hearts of your people, Lord God. So we thank you and we praise you right now, Lord God. We want to be living epistles, Father, read and seen among men. So we thank you, Father, for the opportunity it is that we are given, Lord God, to speak your word, Father, and, Father, to stand bold for the gospel, Father, and for us to go out and evangelize people to come to know who you are, Father. In these last and evil days, Father, have your way in our hearts and minds. It's in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother. Thank you for that. Amen. Well, brothers, we're going to jump right on in because we don't have an announcement. Oh, but let me encourage you, though. Go to our Issues, Christian Men's Talk. Our Facebook page is a couple of events coming up, men's events. In April here in Maryland, there's some online things going on. There's a lot of ministries, again, they're getting back up. They're bringing the men together. They're providing opportunities for fellowship and teaching and study. And we're posting a lot of them as we receive them. We post them on the Facebook page. So I encourage you to go there and check it out and participate and be part of them. Find a place. Find a place where you can hear a word, where you can hear men who are trying to reason the word out and apply the word and live lives that are godly and live lives as men of God and to encourage us in our spiritual growth. Amen? Amen. Well, bro, are we going to start? We talk about serving. I'm going to read a little prerequisite here as we begin to jump in. Because when we read the New Testament, even Paul himself in the letters he wrote, he called himself a servant of Jesus Christ. It was a couple times. In Romans 1 and Colossians 4 and 12, Philippians 1 and 1, 1 Timothy 4 and 6, and even Jude, the brother of Jesus, called himself a servant of Jesus Christ. So what I want to talk about tonight let the brothers know, what does that mean and what does it look like? Because I think that's important. Because even if we seek to be holy, as God is holy, as we are commanded, there's a lot of things that Jesus has said to us that we should be doing as his servants. Because remember, something we have to get back into the church and understand that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is to be Lord of our life. That means we are submitted unto him. And we are obedient to him. And this is what salvation looks like in our lives. Are we living lives obedient to him? And are we living lives where he's in control of our life and that we are doing his will on the earth in all that we do? So I just wanted to, again, we're going to encourage the brothers a little bit. Let me start with this, because even in Scripture, there's a lot of words that are used in English that, as we know, well, I'm not going to go into the whole, the Bible and the translations, but The word servant is used a lot in the English version, in most English version Bibles, either servant or bond servant. But in the Greek, the word doulos, it actually means, the Greek word is slave. And once I say that, a lot of brothers' ears pop up and, you know, people get upset and emotional. But that's what they were called, because they understood in the first century when Paul was writing this, they understood what it meant to be a slave and to be obedient and submissive unto your master. And is Christ our master? That's the question we have to ask ourselves, every one of us. Mm-hmm. Is Jesus Christ Lord and master of our life? We like to see the nice side of his Savior, but now are we living a life that he is Lord of our life? And what does that look like to be a servant? So I'm gonna come to you, brother. First, just to start off with that word, what it means to be a servant, it means a slave. And we all know here in this Western culture, 21st century, 20th century, whatever, you know, we use the word slave, and it has a negative. It has a negative connotation to it. But as men of God, as the body of Christ, that's what we call. What do you say, sir?
Amen. You know, you're absolutely right. There is a cultural balance when you use the word or terminology to be slave. And in this American culture that we have, especially, you know, with all the diverse racism and systemic racism, et cetera, it takes them to a point where they're not as submissive or not humble enough to submit, even knowing who Christ is and even knowing what their position is in Christ. But I think what it really boils down to, when you hear the word servant, a lot of times people associate that with work, you know, and depending on a person's mind, background, et cetera, you get this sort of feeling like, okay, so I have to be a servant of Christ in a church or under a pastorship or, you know,
right.
So now you're taking it from the divine purpose and you put it into a physical purpose, and now the person has some, you know, subjective, you know, thoughts or mentalities against serving the pastor, because they're like, well, wait a minute, I ain't going to serve pastor like I do God. But I think what people focus more on, and you kind of hit it a little bit and touched on it, was when you were talking last week about being holy. People want to be holy. They just don't want to serve God to do it. You have a lot of people who check off a box and say what they didn't do to present those works as holy works to God and say, well, I've abstained from this and I've done this for you. But the thing is that serving God a lot of times, especially when you become a born-again believer, the first thing is patience with God. Immediately a person wants to actually go in and start doing a lot of things to appear holy to people, okay? But then they don't really focus on serving God because they don't want to be a servant of anybody. And they take that into ministry. Don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. I'm in control is kind of the thing, or what is presented when a person comes from out of the world into ministry and serving God. And the only reason I can speak on this is because I have this experience before. I focused so much on trying to live holy that I wasn't serving God. And it really did affect my life, because the more I tried to do something or stop doing something, I ended up doing the same thing over and over and over again, not understanding why I can't quit. Okay?
Mm.
Because I became the master or the Lord over my life and not Jesus Christ. Okay? See, people only acknowledge Jesus Christ sometimes as Savior. So as long as you save me from hell, I'll take those liberties of freedom
and do what I want because I'm the Lord over my own life, you know. So it's a thing, it's a mindset that we come in and we hear all the, you know, we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the too good to be true news, right? That we're saved, but we're not saved because we worked hard at being saved or that God actually granted us salvation because we've earned it. And then once we actually have obtained salvation, now we get to a point where we got it from here, Lord, and I'm in control. And if I make a mistake, I'll just come to you and ask for forgiveness. Well, what I do know, because I actually studied on this once before, right? You know, and you did hit the nail on the head. You said the Greek meaning was slave, and it's the same thing as Ebed is the name or the terminology they use in Hebrews, which means the same thing, slave, assistant, or servant, etc. The thing I try to emphasize, or what is a parallel to being a servant for Jesus Christ, is the same thing as what we call in a restaurant a waiter. A waiter.
Amen.
Is actually serving, okay? When you go to a restaurant, you get a waiter or a waitress, okay? They're waiting for instruction, and I think that's the thing. Even though we may want to do something right off, a lot of times we don't want to follow the instruction. Now, it would be really a messed up dinner date or some type of restaurant you went to where the waiter told you what you're going to eat, or they chose what you were going to eat and what they were going to bring to you, versus you asking, okay, and making a request so that they actually get the order right. And they always take notes to make sure that the order is correct before they put it in. The problem is that if you had a waiter who told you how your date was going to go, it would be the worst experience for the person who's paying for the service. Now, us being in Christ, Christ paid the ultimate price for our salvation. And it is an insult for us to come to him to tell him how we're going to live or how we're going to take what he has given us and carry out our own daily lives. Okay, so when I was actually studying these things, it was like, who stands before the Savior of the world, right? And I had to think about it, right? Who stands before the Savior of the world? Because the Word says that you've been bought with a price, okay, that you can't pay back. But in my, you know, salvation or me being born again, I take that for granted, and, you know, you hit the nail on the head when you were saying that. We take for granted the gospel a lot of times because we want to live our lives the way that we want it. We want to use our resources and our talents and our gifts the way that we want it instead of putting it who paid the price or who paid the bill for us to be standing before a holy God, and he looks at us blameless because he sees us through the blood. I don't know about, you know, I don't know about anybody, you know, own experiences or, you know, their backgrounds. But I tell you this, looking at everything that I did and looking at what Christ actually paid for, I don't mind being a slave. I mean, you know, because, you know, when you look at what was purchased and how it was purchased, my life cannot be reckless from this here on out. And this may be brothers listening right now that need to make that declaration today because they may have been walking a certain way thinking that they were serving God, but they were actually serving themselves. And I think, you know, we have this, what they say, appearance of holiness or appearance of godliness. And we present it to people in the church, and they say, well, if such and such is doing this, and this is how they're serving God, what happens to the rest of the sheep in the ministry? They're going to start walking the same way thinking that they're serving God when all the time they're just trying to be their own lords over their life. And see, they're going to conduct ministries based off of that selfish, or what you would say, self-righteous mentality. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It spreads like cancer, bro. Because it's easy to gravitate to a person who walk in their own way than walk in the right way. It's like,
amen.
Oh, I seen you go to that club or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it must be okay, you know, because I do see you serving in the community and in church too.
Amen.
So what does that do for not only the body of Christ, but what does that tell Jesus Christ about the price that he paid for your soul? So what I'll say to that, the first thing we have to understand is actually serving in humility and understanding the price that was paid for us so that we can actually go out and live amongst people the price that God paid for us. What you say about that, bro?
You know, bro, you took on a lot, bro. I'm writing notes as you're speaking. But men, brothers, this is what we have to be able to look at and look when we're talking about Scripture, what it means, who we are in Christ. You know, are we serving Christ? And the best way we can do that is to know, we have to understand what God's will is for our lives. We have to understand what God's will is for the church. You know, and you touched on something too, because are we following the pastor? Are we a servant to the pastor, or are we a servant to Christ? You know, because I think we take man and put him on, we put man in a place of Jesus sometimes, because he's teaching us, he's leading us, and sometimes we think we substitute him for the lordship of Christ. That as long as we're obedient to the pastor, we're in a safe place, and that's not what Scripture teaches, and that's what, and Paul touched on that because people were concerned about, you know, well, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. So this is not new for the Christians. You know, we're looking to follow people instead of following the Lord. And then for our leaders, we have to understand, no matter where you go, what church you belong to, who your pastor is, it really doesn't matter. Is he leading you to Christ? Is he leading you into the wisdom and knowledge of Christ? Are you growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, not of him? Not of, is he leading you? Again, we have to be mindful of that. And I believe, brothers, every man, the only way that our defense against that is the Word of God. Are we studying the Word of God for ourselves? Are we into the Word of God? Are we doing our devotionals? Are we going behind sermons and hashing them out and chewing them, meditating on them, and what's being taught? And then what are we doing for ourselves, for our own edification? You know, and it's a lot to it to be a servant of Christ, because we have to know his will. And to be a true servant of Christ, the first thing we have to understand is that we give up our rights. And that's the thing in this culture, in the Western culture, but, you know, even we talk about slavery, we talk about oppression, we talk about a lot of things, everybody wants their rights. But we don't have a right, because you said it, Jesus Christ paid the price for our lives, for our soul. He redeemed us from, we were all destined from hell, destined to hell. We were destined for eternal punishment. And God sent his son to redeem us back from his own wrath. This is why we have to understand what Christianity is, when we strip away all the things and understand what the God of the Bible has done for us. And now we have to have a reverence and a fear. And Christ is Lord. We call him Lord. The Scripture says that you call me Lord, but you don't do what I tell you. But we call him Lord. All these things, and that's what we have to be careful of. Because, like you said, we have to all search ourselves. The things that we do, are we doing the things to glorify God, to fulfill the Great Commission, to make disciples, to reach people, to show hope, give people love, bring people into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that their souls might save? Are we fulfilling the mission and the vision of what Jesus Christ has done? And that's the thing each of us has to focus on. Because we can do a lot of stuff, because there's a lot of people out here, what do you call it, philanthropists, people with money doing things for people who don't have, the people that have doing for the have-nots to make themselves feel good. That's not what the church is called for. You know, the church is called to serve people, to reach people, but reach them for the gospel and reach them for God. You see what I'm saying? And we lose that because we're doing a lot of things when we call it service, and it's not really service for Christ. And I say that because we have to all examine ourselves. We have to really all examine ourselves. What do you say, brother? I'll share this with you real quick. You know, it says, a servant of Christ is one who voluntarily sets aside his personal rights in order to love, serve, and obey the will of God in Christ Jesus. And one of the things that we have to do as servants, he talks about dying daily. Because if we understand our everyday struggles, are we dying daily to sin and our fleshly desires? And every man has to look at himself and consider that. How did I do today in those things that rose up in me that I wanted to do what I wanted to do? Because you talked about it. Abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. What do you say, brother?
Amen. You know, that's so true. And you see a lot of people, I guess you could say, sometimes you see people going backwards instead of forwards because they've been trying to sustain for so many years. And it's not deliverance because they're following their own path instead of following the path of Jesus Christ. It's a sacrificial thing. You must deny yourself to follow him. When a person says, or when a person becomes a believer or born again, there's a lot of things that take place immediately. You're going to be tempted. You're going to have a different outlook on life, but you understand that the price that was paid for your life. And first and foremost, understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ and being able to live it lives out what you appreciate about the gospel or what's been done for you. Now, the only way that you can actually show your appreciation is to live how Christ wants you to live. And here's an interesting thing about that, right? So when a person is released from prison, they don't typically, majority, they don't typically use that freedom to go back out to get back in prison or in bondage, okay?
Amen.
You know, it's not a thing where I'm going to take this, and, you know, I use it the same way, like, you know, people came out the hood, you can say, as a rapper, and now they're doing better for themselves. They don't get out the hood to get all that money to go back to the hood. It's not – no, huh? They've been trying to make it out for so long. Now that they are out, they appreciate it so much. They try to bring people along to say, hey, man, this is a good life that I have here. I want to bring you out of bondage as well, okay? So typically when a person is released from death or when somebody is resuscitated or revived, they don't do the things to get back into the same position. So I think what our mindset has to be is that, well, the things that took me back into what I came out of and the reason that you died for me in the first place, Lord, I don't want to use that same thing to go back there again. Now, I don't know, but sometimes if a person would stop and think, well, the reason I got back into those things is because I was leading myself. I was calling the shots, and I didn't have my only instruction manual was the people around me and the environment that I lived in. So if I come on this side as a believer, what I can't do is follow the person. I have to follow the Holy Spirit who's going to lead and guide us into all truth, okay? We have to have a manual or a sense of instruction when we know what we were doing wasn't good, and the path that I'm going in, I'm not going to try to butter it up to try to make it look better what I'm doing now. You know, sometimes we practice insanity, but we try to do it in a better way. It's like, well, let me see if I can get away with it this way.
If I do it a different way, if I do foolishness a different way, maybe it won't be foolishness.
Right. If it was more undetected, or if I was a little bit more sneaky about it, maybe I could keep doing it, but then go to church and ask for forgiveness later. But if you really take your life and turn it over to Jesus Christ, and I think that's the thing, that people don't want to surrender to Christ. They have a thing where the surrendering part is really, really difficult because they want to be in control of their own lives. So if your life is that precious to you, why didn't you die for yourself? You know, you would actually die to yourself, like you said, die daily, so that you can press, like Paul was saying, he pressed towards the mark of the higher calling. He pressed. He keep pressing. You have to die daily. You have to. You're gonna have those temptations every single day of your life. But what you don't want to do is give up and say, well, maybe if I do a little here and a little there, I won't actually indulge too much, but I'll do here and there. And see, what you're doing is you're actually living a lie, I would say, because God is going to say, well, do you really want me to change your life? Or do you want to live your life the same way and actually produce the same results, but just at a slower process, because you're doing a little here and a little there, but you're still not going anywhere. So I think for us as brothers, you know, and everybody that's listening, I think for us as brothers, what we must do, okay, because it's been many battles that we've been in, but a spiritual battle is something we don't have our carnal eyes on all the time. So I think what it would be best for us to do is to continually live in prayer, like, you know, keep a prayerful life and actually pray for those things that you know, want to accomplish through Jesus Christ. It's not you trying to do it yourself. And I think that's the thing. We think all these little things we can handle, but it's the small things that are really devour us if we let them in, and we think we can handle them, but we still wrestling with these little things, okay? So trying to live a life that's pleasing to God and actually being a servant so that God can be glorified in what we've done. And then he will get the glory, and then we'll produce the good fruits that he is expected of us, because now we actually have a new mind and we have a new heart to serve him. And, you know, I don't like to say just, you know, join a ministry just to be doing it. But if the Holy Spirit is leading you to do some things, then allow God to actually have his way to do so. Don't start something that you know the Holy Spirit ain't leading you to do, but you just want to have a platform just to do some stuff, and so that you can appear amongst people to be glorified yourself. What you say about that, bro?
Amen. You know, bro, again, let me say this. Hey, listen, this is Christian Man's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Deacon Anthony Lee, and we're talking about what it means to be a servant of Christ. Bro, you're right. But, again, this is why it's the Word. I believe it's the Word. It's through the Word. It's through prayer. And it's through reading the Word as its instructions for how we should live. And when we're talking about being servants of Christ, are we seeking his will in all things, all parts of our life? You know, sometimes we have to look at, sometimes we compartmentalize our lives. We keep God over here, and we have the rest of the life. God, you got the spiritual stuff, but I got the flesh stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
We do the God thing here, but then I got the other stuff because I can make this thing work. But is it our everyday, as servants of God, in everything we do, in every day, are we seeking to honor and glorify the one who brought our freedom from sin? That's the basic thing we have to, that's the basic teaching that we have to get, that as men of God, are we living life that's going to glorify him in everything we do? Because remember, the price, that's what I'm saying, because you mentioned it earlier, the price that was paid for our salvation was a price that we couldn't afford it. The blood of Christ was so sacred because of who he was. And that all goes back to our faith. It goes back to our basics. Do we understand the Son of God died for us and paid the price that kept us from the wrath of God to come. And if we don't have that biblical theology, that biblical understanding, that basics of who, what it means to be a Christian, I think that's where why people, you know, they don't reverence God like they should. Because,
amen.
You know, salvation is salvation sometimes is presented as is just a thing. It's okay. Everybody's in, whatever you do, God bless you and all that. And instead of understanding understanding the gospel and the word of God. I want to touch on a couple of scriptures here because I want to give the brothers the opportunity to search the word of God for themselves. 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whatever therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to glorify to the glory of God. And that's one of the things we got to focus on that. And I think every man has to be able to do that. You know, and there's a lot of things we can do to glorify God. We can glorify him through our good works. It's Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We want to bear fruit.
Amen.
That's our spiritual growth. We got John 15:8. Wherein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. That's what I'm saying. This is the word that we should be feeding on to understand who we are and how
Amen.
God wants to use each of us. And to be a servant, we have to know what the expectation is. I don't think in our gospel there's God has expectations for his church and who we are to be his church. And he's as Lord, he's given us directions to fulfill his will in this on the earth. And we're the vessels he uses. So we have to get to a place where now we're living this life out. Not that we're not going to make mistakes, not that we're going to slip, not that we may get off track sometimes. But God has made he's made a way for us to be restored, but through repentance, true repentance, because we're not going to know everything or get everything right in our servitude, in our humility. But when we get off track, all we have to say, God, forgive me, Jesus, forgive me, and learn from it, and then move to not do that thing again. But a lot of us, I'm gonna say it like this, bro, and you're gonna help me out here. You gotta have my back. A lot of folk find themselves on spiritual, hamster wheels.
Mm.
They're doing a lot, but they're not going anywhere. They're not growing.
Mm.
You know, because we're not really submitting. We're not renouncing our rights to what we want to do, how we want to do it, because it makes us feel good. It makes us look good before man. A lot of things that we do, but because we don't want to surrender and make him true master and Lord of our life, and then live that life in confidence. And that's why I think a lot of we have to get to a place where we have a confidence in Christ and that he's going to meet all our needs. And again, we have to come to a place where we are submitting to his will. And between the teaching that we get from our pastors and from teachers in the church, there's a lot that we should be doing as a church just on purpose. But
yeah,
some of it is because we're not being taught and because we're not learning. That's why I always encourage every brother, and I always said, because for myself, this is my experience, that we have to go into the Word and dive in for ourselves. Because our pastors, our teachers, our elders, our preachers, they're pointing us to a direction that we now have to walk that thing out. We have to bear our own cross. We have to work out our own soul salvation. And he get us, and their job is to shepherd us to that place. But,
Amen.
Again, we have to understand that we are called to be servants, and we're called to be the body of Christ and function in a certain way and live a certain life. May it be holy and being a servant. All these things, as we read Scripture and work to apply it, all these things they're not separate. They're all the same thing. Just like the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits. It's fruit. People, you know, it's fruit of the Spirit. It's not separate. All those things are who we should be in Christ Jesus. All those fruits that are mentioned.
Amen.
That's who we are. That's who we should be. And we don't, but because we sometimes we don't see it that way. We're not taught to see it that way. We see it as separate things, but that's not how Scripture was written when Paul was writing and when Peter and the apostles were writing Scripture. So I just I just want to encourage the brothers. There's some things that we should be doing to live a life that glorifies Him, to show that we are that He is our Lord and Savior, and that's the biggest thing we have to do. Amen. I think that's what we all have to test ourselves, examine ourselves, and see where we are when it comes to these things. Though we seeking His will in all things and desire every day as servants of Christ to honor and glorify the one who brought out freedom from sin. I mean, if we walk around with that every day tattooed on our forehead, I think we'd be a lot different kind of people when it comes to the challenges we have in the world, when life challenges come at us. You know, how will I glorify God in my trials, my tests, and my temptations? How can I glorify Him? That's what we have to really ask ourselves. Amen? So I'm going to take a breath here, bro, but I just want to ask you, one of the things that we think that is important, and I want to get your thoughts on it, is how we continue in the faith in the midst of all that goes on in our lives, continuing in the faith. What does that mean to you, and what does that look like?
You know, that's something, man. You said that because, you know, the world right now is full of many distractions and a lot of things that could take you off course. I think one of the things that could keep you grounded is what testimony brought you here, you know, because it's a free will. It's a whosoever will. And when you accepted who Christ is and you accepted the gospel and you understand it and you were led to, you know, become born again, I think that is the foundation of what you build on to stay rooted in faith. Because if you have a lot of superficial ones out there that say, oh yeah, well, I'm saved, but they don't know what they were saved from because they haven't really acknowledged themselves as far as being sinners. Based on their culture and the way that they did things, they don't line themselves up with Scripture to see that what they were doing or how they were living was wrong. So you have a lot of people, and I'll say this, it's a lot of church members or people, church goers, that still haven't repented and think that they are born again. But there's no change in their lives. I think understanding that whatever it was that changed you, that's what you stick on why you're here. I needed a Savior. Like, I look at my life and I look at, you know, the directions I was heading and the things that I was doing. I needed a Savior. I needed someone to rescue me from the things that I was doing. And I'm not just talking about, a lot of times people talk about, you know, the streets or the drug game or addictions, or they may actually talk about different things that they were dealing with. And when God delivers them from those things, they focus on those things as being saved. And I'm not saying that. I mean, what about the challenges that that you may have or you have may have faced of speaking bad about individuals? Because people don't recognize the small things. They always look to focus at the big things, and they assume that because they practice certain things, and it goes on in the church. I mean, how many times have you heard churches breaking up or members leaving because of gossip? Well, those things came out of Egypt that they brought into the ministry. So a lot of times they'll say, oh, well, you know, this person, he on drugs, so when God delivered him from the drug abuse, oh, he must be saved. And that's their examples. And then when you got those other people who, you know, gossip a lot, they'll look down on that drug user, and they say, man, you know, God is good to him or her. You see what I'm saying? So they really don't examine themselves in full. And you got to actually think about it, like, okay, what is your faith based on? You know, What did people look upon you and say? You changed. Okay, so you got gossip, but you gossip now, you just don't curse in it? I mean, what, you know, and don't get me wrong, those things are good. But if you never had those addictions and you never had a lifestyle like that, what is your faith based on and what keeps you grounded? And see, that's why the word of God is so important when it says examine yourself. Okay, you have to examine yourself because when people say, okay, when you hear that thrown out there a lot, when people say examine yourself, the first thing they do is just examine themselves. They don't read the word of God to let the word of God examine who they are.
Amen.
So who's making all the corrections? And I think in order for me and other brothers to actually stay grounded and rooted in this thing in faith, you have to understand that it was faith that brought you here, and what brought you out of the things that you was doing is the faith of Jesus Christ for your life. And I reflect on that daily, and that's what keeps me grounded to not go back or not go back to do some things that I was doing. Now, you remember when we were talking about people serving the pastor or people serving the churches, right?
Yes.
Sometimes that can become idol to people, and they start worshiping those things to the point where they don't want to get it right with God. They'd rather get it right with the church or the pastor. It's like your service now and, you know, your debt is not paid through the pastor or through the church as the building, you know? So you won't live or you won't think that you need to repent for anything based on your own self-examination. You know, and it's a lot in that, bro. But even as born-again believers, even a person that just came to know who Jesus Christ is, the Holy Spirit had that person examine themselves to know that they weren't walking in the ways of God and that they needed a Savior. And I guess that's, you know, my testimony that keeps me grounded, because I know what it's like living without Jesus Christ and what the experience is living with Jesus Christ, okay? I know what the experience is of feeling like your prayers ain't being answered. I mean, how are you going to call on somebody you don't know? I'm just saying. You know,
yes, sir.
I don't just get in the phone book and just start calling, right? But,
that's right.
You know, if you know God, and, you know, and even when we was in the world, bro, the Holy Spirit convicted us so that it can compel us to come to know who Jesus Christ is in the gospel. So my thought is this. It's like the way that I look at it as far as what keeps me grounded. And I'm just, you know, speaking from testimonial. I know what it's like not to live with Jesus Christ. The experience is different, okay? The comfort is different. The peace is different. You know, my mindset is different. You know, the convictions are there. The carefulness, and you said you hit the nail on the head when you said the fear or the reverence of God is there, okay? And I think that's where the world, because the wrath of God is not upon the world right now, the fear of God has left the world, okay? And if people really understood the God that we serve, they would want to get it right in fear or in reverence or respect for who he is and what he can do, okay? So, I mean, for us, it's two things here. It's the fear, okay? It's the fear, and then it's the testimony behind the fear. And I think that's what keeps me grounded in faith, those two principles there. And I want to live careful. I have a careful, or what a person say, walk on eggshells. I just want to be careful on how I treat God and how I treat the gospel, because I don't want to leave here before his time. And I definitely don't want to lead somebody else astray in how I live. What you say about that, bro?
You're right, sir. And a lot of the Bible calls the Bible. See, this is what I say about the Bible. And for the brothers that are listening out there, the Bible is instructions, is guidance, is direction. It sets our boundaries. It sets our chalk line. It's our blueprint. And this is why we have to look at Scripture differently from what we may have been taught or how we were told how to perceive it. We have to understand I was told a long time ago, you know, you got to find out what the will of God is for your life. You know, you got to pray how God wants, what God wants from you. The Bible tells you exactly what God wants from us, what it is to be and to be his child, to be a servant, to be a slave of God, to be that he is Lord over our lives. And I think that's the thing that we have to focus on, because all of it comes, like you say, it's the reverence, it's the fear of God, it's the understanding. What we would say, again, it goes back to we cannot take for granted our salvation, because our salvation, the price that was paid, it's even about do we understand that what our salvation was done. That's the greatest gift that we could receive. And if we take that for granted, we live lives after our so-called coming to Christ, but we didn't still live lives like it doesn't matter. It didn't matter. It's no big deal. And I think that's a lot because of teaching and people don't understand. But again, as we grow in Christ, brothers, if every one of us say, studied the Word of God, if we put in the time that we should be into the Word of God, we would understand what was done for us and how we should live. That's the thing I want to talk about, because to be a servant, we have to know our position. We have to know our position, that he is Lord, and we are called to obey, and we are called to obey him because we love him. Because we don't have the fear anymore of the wrath of punishment because of what Christ has done. But because of what he's done is now why I obey and submit and trust and I love. Why? How many relationships do we do because we say we love someone and what are we willing to do for them? That should be multiplied when it comes to Jesus Christ. And again, that comes with the obedience, knowing God's will for our life is written in Scripture. I know you might have heard pastors, bishops, or whatever tell you something different, but this is why we have the Scripture. This is why the Word is here for us and has survived all the. It's here. Those letters that Paul and Peter wrote, and the apostles and the Gospels, they're all here because God wanted us to know what we are to be and who we are to be and how we should live. Amen? And this is a requirement for all believers. But as men, we need to know it so that, we can stay, be in our place, in our position to be leaders in the home, in the church, and in the community, and be able to deal with the issues of life as life comes at us. You know, that's the other thing that we deal with in the church, that people think Christians don't have problems and issues. We have life like everyone else, but the secret is we're different. Our character is different, our attitude is different, and our worldview is different because of the Word of God and because the Holy Spirit in us allows us to be able to read the Word, understand the Word, and apply the Word. So nothing that could happen to us in this life. There's not an answer in the Word of God that we could be able to endure that thing. And there's a lot of things that could go on because we deal with the same things everybody else deal with. We deal with sicknesses. We deal with death. We deal with emotional, spiritual issues, financial, all the things that we deal with. The Word of God gives us an answer. And unless we believe that and we trust God and trust what he says and live a life as he's guiding and directing us, then this is why we struggle. We struggle in our faith. Yeah. And it's something you said about, what goes on, in churches is because people, what's the scripture talk? I forgot what it is. Like 75 times, one another, how we treat one another as believers. It's like 50 verses which is instructions.
Right.
And what did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. The one another's.
Mm-hmm.
Church issues, personal problems, from our wives, family, and children, to church membership, to the congregation we're part of. The one another is the answer to all those things. Because if we let pride, selfishness, self-righteousness, greed, envy, these all bring strife to the body of Christ, into our lives,
right,
into our marriages, into our homes. That's all what the enemy uses to try to break us down. But if we believe the word and obey the word, those things can be, they can be rectified and can be dealt with. You know, if I love someone else more than myself, I'm not going to get upset at them, and I'm going to do some things that's going to make their life easier. I'm going to submit myself, humble myself, that they might, you know, they might prosper, and show them love and whatever they're going through.
Amen.
Amen. Sorry, but I want to touch on a couple things here, man. We've been on and we touched it a lot tonight, but I want to go through a couple things real quick for the brothers that are listening, because I want to plant some scriptures in their hearts and minds as we move through the weekend here again. You listen to this program, if you listen to this on Saturday morning, we're not live. It was pre-recorded because we are in the midst of our fellowship. Check your position. So we're doing that on Saturday morning. So if you're listening to this, again, if you called in or if you got the link, we're not live. So if you tried to call in and press one on your keypad and I didn't answer you, don't think I'm ignoring you. This is a pre-recorded program. Amen? Amen. So, bro, I wanted to touch on a couple of things from some of the notes that I shared with you and get your insight on them as we get to wrap up here. Because a couple of the things it talks about, that some of the requirements for anyone to be called a servant of Christ. That right there, when I said that, people think salvation, there's no requirements to our salvation, that we think we're free to do anything, we're not, and we are not. We are slaves to Christ. We are obedient to his word. And it talks about, some of these things will sound familiar to some folk out there, and talk about destroying arguments of every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, taking every thought activity to obey Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's our mindset. That's our character. That's our attitude. Pursue holy living. Daily crucify the lusts of the flesh. Love our brothers and sisters in faith. You have to humble yourself to love another brother and sister, because their sin is just like you. They say the same issues you got, but are you willing to love them through who they are, through their growth, through their maturity? Store up treasures in heaven. That's the things that we do that God will, that we reward because of what we lived, and eagerly await his return. And that's, man, we could do a whole show on that. Because some people think, they can do what they want because God ain't coming back while they're alive, so they got time. But let's go. I'm gonna drop you off at this one here. Take every thought under captivity and obedience to Christ, and pursue holy living. Those are your two, brother. What do you say?
Yeah, I think that should be the mission of every born-again believer, especially, I would say, especially men, because men are the head, men are the leaders. So normally you have people who will follow a man, and I'm not talking about, a person that called himself a man, but, when you become a man, you put aside childish things. I think the word of God gives us a greater detail as far as the character of a man. So when I say that, I'm not, speaking as far as what the world may say, is a man based on your driver's license and your birth date. But what God says that a man, when you put aside childish things. So speaking from those things, the battle begins in your mind. Okay. I think the mindset of a person can corrupt their hearts sometimes and their intentions of goodwill. However, if you don't take those thoughts that are negative into captivity and, put it in a place where you won't dwell on it or think on it as a,
to be a stumbling block in what you are trying to accomplish to glorify God. That is very important, because that's the battleground for the enemy, is your mind. Your mind actually can get you to start thinking about your upbringing, or, you know, your reputation. It'll get you to think, like you was just saying, even the return of Jesus Christ. A lot of people are thinking, well, I got time. You know, that's a thought that will get a person to do some riotous living, because they feel like they got enough time and that tomorrow is promised to them. So they'll go and they'll do all kinds of things and indulge in a life that actually can really just take their life with one bad decision. So the battleground is in our mind. You know, it's in our mind. And I think, you know, Paul said it there. It's like, the knowledge that actually, you know, raises itself or exalts himself in certain translations above God, you know. We have to follow his guidance and his guidelines as far as to what it does to be a servant and to please him. We can't rationalize those things and bring out our own understanding or our own revelations that fit us. And I think that's where a lot of people and ministers and different teachers and false ministers, what they do is they make the word of God conducive for the culture or for the evolved, you know, culture that we're in now, to where it's now not as strict, but it's more compassionate and far as, you know, being compromised. So, you know, those thoughts on what the word of God is saying to you, you need to take literally when the Holy Spirit brings those things to, you know, into a clearer understanding. So the battleground is in our minds. And I know, you know, a lot of times our mind can be corrupted on a lot of different ways. And even the mindset of just saying, hey, am I, like you were saying, you do a self-evaluation daily. Am I doing or am I thinking on things or ways to please Jesus Christ? Is that my thought process daily? And if our mind is not actually focused, and I think it's the focusing part, in every endeavor of our life, every area of our life, you know, whether it be work, children, husband and wives, everything that actually is, you know, attached to our life on a daily basis, the battleground starts in our minds. You know, battleground could be how to use your finances. That's a battleground. Do I go and, you know, indulge a little bit in this, or do I use this as an opportunity to pay my bills, et cetera, et cetera? So it's a lot there. It's a lot of things that a person, the mindset of a person or an individual who was born again, that the enemy wants to try to knock you off course. But if we stay focused on what the Holy Spirit is telling us, and we have to, brothers, I say this, we have to study the word. We have to study the word so that we know where we go in the direction that we need to go. Okay. And you know, when I say study, I don't mean just reading it and then going to sleep. And that's good sometimes, but you want to get something from it to equip you for the day that you're going to prepare for, whether it be in the morning or the night before. You want to get that study in so that the Holy Spirit and that you can be ready and armed and ready for the day that's ahead. So I would say study. You need to pray. Keep your mind focused on the things of God, and I think we'd be in good shape. What you say, bro?
Amen, amen, and I agree too. You know, it's the word, it's the word, it's the word, it's the word, it's the word. I don't know how many more times I can say it. Amen. But you know, and that's what the fellowship is about too, because we are called that we should be held accountable. We should be connected with like-minded men. Who's in our circle of influence? Who's living a life that's modeling a holy and a servant life around us? You know, there's a lot of people. It's funny. Our pastor talks about this a lot of times. You know, a lot of pastors think they should not be seen working or laboring for the things of God, And people, you know, let me say it like this. People run around. I mean, I'll put it like this because I've seen it done. So I'm just giving testimony of what I've seen and know. I've seen people not wanting pastors to do anything, temporal, physical, or whatever. Somehow, as a man of God, as a pastor, as a head, as an under-shepherd, he shouldn't do any physical labor or lifting or anything. But that's not what he's called for. That's not the position he should be in. And when we do that, you know, we're hindering, because he should, if he's leading us in something, sometimes we lead by an example. I just leave it like that. That some folk put the lead the under shepherd in a position, putting them again on the throne instead of Christ on the throne. Because if we're co-laborers in Christ, if we're laboring together, I understand the organization needs someone leading, but we're out there. We're in the fields together, reaping the harvest, going out, ministering, laboring. Because even pastors do things behind the scenes people never see. But when it's time for the whole body of Christ to go, the pastor should be seen out there in the lead. And some are. I'm not gonna all. But then you have folk out there. And sometimes it's funny because sometimes it's some of the people on the leadership team who think the pastor shouldn't do anything. And the rest of the congregation is seeing this. And this is where the traditions come in, and where men are exalted. And you talked about idolatry, but, you know, we're not going to go there right now because I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings about their pastor, bishop, apostle. Amen. again, brothers, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And again, we thank you. We thank you for taking the opportunity and spending time to listen to this episode of the show. I want to share a couple of scriptures at the close here for your edification and for your study and for your deep dive on your own time. The following scriptures for your edification. 2 Corinthians 10:5. 1 Peter 1:14-16. Romans 6:1-6. 1 John 3:14-15. Matthew 6:19-20. And Revelations 22:20 and 2 Timothy 4:8. I just encourage you, in your devotional time, in your quiet time, meditate on those verses, meditate on those scriptures, and see what God will say to you when we're talking about being a servant of Christ and how we should live and what God is going to hold us accountable for. Because, again, this is what God is going to, again, we're all going to stand before God, and he's going to search our hearts. He's going to search our motives. He's going to search our attitudes, our character, and how did we live holy and obedient to him? Were we slaves to Christ, and was Jesus Christ our Lord of our life during our time here on earth? And did we fulfill the purpose and plan that he had for our life individually? Amen. Brother, again, I want to appreciate you, man, taking time out and being on the program with us today and sharing your wisdom and insight. And I'm also ask you to close us out in prayer. And, brother, continue to pray for me, and I pray for you. And we'll see what God's going to do. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, what I'll say is this. You know, it's good. I'll say from experience, it feels good to actually serve God and be in this. You know, being in this light, you know, based on my background and based on the things that I've been through, I thank God and I love God for what he's done and what he continually do every single day, how he's taking care of me, my family. It's just so much things that I can actually be thankful for. And I encourage every man that's listening to, you know, use the opportunity that you have to get it right with Jesus Christ. If we, you know, misunderstood some things, different revelations, seek God and seek what the Word of God has said so that we can actually live a life that's pleasing to God. Amen. So with that being said, Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We thank you for tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we pray that it fell on good ground, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Father, for intercessions, Lord God, for the things that's going to happen, Lord God, from our obedience and for the things that we want to put in practice, Lord God. Father, if there's any person, Father, under the sound of our voices, Lord God, that's going through anything right now, whether it be temptation, Father, with drugs, addictions, drinking, Father, pornography, anything, Father, that will be a stumbling block, Father, for them, for you being glorified in their lives. We ask you right now, Father, to intercede right now, Lord God, with that man or that woman, whoever it may be, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for hearing and answering prayer, Father. Father, you said that if we ask anything in your name according to your will, that you will do it. So we thank you, Father, God, for your word. We ask you, Father, that you continue to watch over our families, Father. Continue to put a hedge of protection and be a hedge of protection, Father. Father, forgive us for the things that we take for granted, Lord God, and help us, Father, to start anew and start afresh. We claim it done right now in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you.